trainer. Yeah, I'll email it to you. I'll email it to Phil. He'll say, I don't. In other words, I emailed to my office here, and then I tried to put it up, but it's completely off kilter. I don't know why. So I don't know about computers. Okay, so Belinda, I'll email it. If more mama comes in, we'll cover it, but okay. And I want to speak about the following question. The Gemara said at the end of Maseches Megillah, Daf Lamed Aleph, the Gemara says that Chazar Mesaken, that we should read the Klolos Shabbat Mishnah Torah, the curses, the Lo Tochacha, in Mishnah Torah, Chumash Devarim, that should be read prior to Rosh Hashanah. And the Klolos in Taras Kohanim, the first Tochacha in Parash Mechokosai, should be read prior to Shavuot. That's the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Lamed Aleph, meaning that the reason we're going to read Parshas Kisavo this Shabbos is because it's before Rosh Hashanah. Now, you may ask the question, why are we reading Parshas Kisavo this Shabbos? Well, what do you mean? It's the next Sedra. That's why, that's what we're up to. But in a certain sense, one could argue that that's Enochan is true, but that's because our calendar has been set up that way. But the Gemara mentions specifically that you're supposed to read the Klolos Shabbat Torah's Kohanim before Shavuos. Torah's Kohanim is a nickname for Chumash Vayikra. So that's in Chosai, that's going to be read before Shavuos. And the Torah's the Klolos in Mishnah Torah in Chumash Devarim is supposed to be read prior to Rosh Hashanah. Gemara wonders why that should be. So they have an expression, Tichla Shana V'Kilosel, that the old year and all its problems and all its curses should go away. We should get rid of this Tochacha, so to speak. It's a long list in this week's Sedra. It's a long list of punishments and curses and terrible things, which Mefarshim point out, all of which came true at one time or another, unfortunately. And then it says, even things which the Torah didn't even imagine. We've seen it, the Holocaust and so on. So it's a terrible thing, but the idea is let the old year and its curses go away. So you start Rosh Hashanah, new year, new beginning, the curses, Tichle Shana, because there's actually a piyut that some people recite. Most people don't have time for it, but I think the Mazorim printed right before davening on Rosh Hashanah night, either right after Mincha or right before Marib. There's a little poem, a piyut called Achos Ketano. And the refrain, so to speak, the recurring phrase that appears at the end of each stanza is Tichle Shana V'Kilosel. But the old year, I'm not saying I say it either. I've read it. There's usually rushing, to get the shul as it is. But it's printed in many of them. Achos Ketano, it's called. And the refrain is Tichle Shana V'Kilosel. The last stanza ends Tochel Shana U'Brichosel. Let the new year and its brachas begin. That's how you end the davening, It's something to say for if you have a moment to look at it, check in the regular Mazorim, I'm pretty sure they printed, around Mincha. Anyway, the idea is that the old year and old curse should go out, and therefore they were misaken to read. So the Gemara says, well, then I understand about reading the Klolos in Torah's Kohanim in Kisavo before Rosh Hashanah, but what's that got to do with the Klolos in, I'm sorry, the Klolos in Mishnah Torah, I understand, the new year, but what's it got to do with Shavuos? Why the Klolos in Bukhosai, why should that be read before Shavuos? Shavuos not a Rosh Hashanah. Of course, yes, it is a Rosh Hashanah for the purpose of Bikurim, the new fruits. Okay, the Gemara answers whatever they answer. All right, we don't have to go into that now. But the idea is that there is a Takonas Chazal, Ezra Tikkun LaMisrael. It's an old Takonah, the Gemara says. Yeah, look it up, Megillah and Aleph. Believe that I will afford the sources. That Ezra's Misakin to read these Tochacha before Rosh Hashanah. The question which should come to mind is that this Shabbos is not, in fact, the Shabbos for Rosh Hashanah. This Shabbos we lay in Parshas Kisavo, and it's not the Shabbos for Rosh Hashanah. It's another Shabbos next week. Next week we lay in Nitzavim. According to the way our calendar is set up, Nitzavim is always read on the Shabbos immediately prior to Rosh Hashanah. Some years it's doubled up with Vayelech, some years it's not. This year it happens not to be. We'll get that in a moment. But whatever it is, we don't follow exactly what it says in the Gemara. Truth is, we don't follow exactly what it says in the Gemara about Shavuos either. We don't read B'chukosai on the Shabbos immediately prior to Shavuos. We read B'midbar. Sometimes even though, so rare occasions. But generally, B'midbar is read on the Shabbos before Shavuos. So we don't seem to follow this Gemara, this Takanas Ezra, which in itself is a question. Tosus on that Daf. Oh, you have it?
Yeah, I just remember that.
Okay, you got a white Torah.
No.
What's that? Oh, thank you. Oh, okay, good. Very good. Yeah, so it's actually, that's, I'm not going to say the exact same thing, but it is to begin. But at least you see the Gemara. No, it happens to be, I'm taking it. That was a, that was talking about history, but this is a little different. But the beginning is the same, so you can see it. Okay, Laman Alvin Beis, Tanya, Rishon Elazar, Ezra Tingle, etc. Tosa Megillah asks the following important question, but it comes from a different way. And Tosa says, Shalu Beis Hamedrash Rabbeinu Nisim. This was a shadow that came up in the Beis Medrash of Rabbeinu Nisim. Rabbeinu Nisim here does not mean the Ran. Okay, the Ran in the back on the rear for the Chedush Ran, that was Rabbeinu Nisim, and it was a different Rabbeinu Nisim. This is Rabbeinu Nisim Gon. Okay, one of the Gonim was called Nisim. So this Shiloh came up in the Beis Medrash. Okay, and it's an interesting question about what people would ask. Okay, I just mentioned before that we always read Mitzvah on the Shabbos of Rosh Hashanah. Okay, sometimes it's doubled up with Vayelech, sometimes not. What does that depend upon? That depends on how many Shabboses there are between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot. Okay, so let's work backwards. Okay, just to spell it out. We know we finish the Torah on Simchas Torah. Okay, so the Shabbos before Simchas Torah is Sukkot. So it's going to be, it's either, we're going to lay in the Sukkot laning, right? So the Shabbos before Simchas Torah is Sukkot. So you don't lay then. What's the Shabbos before that? So now it depends. Is there a Shabbos before Sukkot after Yom Kippur or not? This year there is. Okay, this year there is a Shabbos in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. Yom Kippur this year is a Wednesday. Okay, so there's a Shabbos. Sukkot begins Sunday night. So there's a Shabbos in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. So if you have to be up to Vizos HaBrocha by Sukkot, then the Shabbos before Sukkot, you read Hazinu. Okay, that's how it works out. Now, the Shabbos before that, which is between Rosh Yom Kippur, Shabbos Shuvah, will then be Vayelech. And therefore, the Shabbos before that, for Rosh Hashanah, is Nitzavim, right? In such a year, Nitzavim Vayelech, like this year, Nitzavim Vayelech are not doubled up. Because we have two Shabboses after Rosh Hashanah before Sukkot. One is Shabbos Shuvah. Rosh Hashanah this year is Monday and Tuesday. So that's Shabbos Shuvah. So then we're going to read Vayelech. And then the following Shabbos, between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, we have to read Hazinu. Some years, however, there is no Shabbos in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. Okay, something, huh? Say it again? Yeah, Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, okay? Or if Yom Kippur falls out on, let's see, Yom Kippur can fall out on Monday also, right? Can Yom Kippur fall out on Monday? I do Rosh, but yeah, right, Rosh Hashanah can never fall out Sunday, Wednesday, Friday, but it can. Rosh Hashanah sometimes Shabbos Sunday, right? Yeah, it's true. Rosh Hashanah sometimes Shabbos and Sunday, right? They haven't had in a long while that we don't both show up on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Next year it happens. Rashon Shabbos, it haven't been a bunch of years since that happened. But anyway, so Yom Kippur can be on Shabbos, in which case Sukkot is Wednesday night, right, Thursday, so there's no Shabbos. Or Yom Kippur can be on a Monday, in which case also Sukkot will be Friday night, so there'll be no Shabbos. So then there's no Shabbos on which to read Hazinu, so you'll have to push Hazinu back to the previous Shabbos, which is Shabbos Shuvah. You'll have to be back to Shabbos Shuvah, in which case the Tzom Ma'elech has to be doubled up. Okay, you understand the Cheshbon? Right, you can see it. So this year, there's no problem. This year, it's lighter because it's easier laning, because it's on Elach, both short sedra, so is Hazinu. So we have the extra Shabbos to play with this year. So they asked, says Tosas, they asked the Shaila in the Beis Medrash, or at least in Gaon, an interesting question. You know, Mitzom Vayelech, together, 70 psukim. Mitzom's got 40 psukim, Vayelech got 30 psukim. Two shorter sedras in the Torah. Okay? So even combined, they're shorter than most sedras. You remember back about 8 weeks ago, okay, before Tisha B'Av, you had a double sedra, Matos and Masei, two long, long sedras. They're both full-length sedras by themselves, and they're combined. It's an absolute bomb for a Baal Kori. No Baal Kori is eager to read Matos and Masei. It's a long lane. Okay? So they asked the Beis Medrash of Nisim Gon, in a year like this, when you have the extra Shabbos to play with, why double up Nitzavim Vayelech? So it's two short sedras. Okay? Why split up? Why split up Nitzavim Vayelech? Two short sedras, okay? Double up Nitzav Elech in any case, okay? And split Matas HaMaseh. It'll be easier for the Tircha Nitzimur, right? That was the question. That's the reason. Loma, in a year like this, Loma Mechalkim Parshas Nitzav Elech Hashnayim B'Kishyesh Beis Shabbos Ben Rosh Hashanah Sukkot. In a year like this, when there are two Shabbos between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot, okay? Why should we split up Nitzav Elech? Combine them anyway, and split up Matas and Masei going back. That was the kasha which was asked in the Beis Medrash of Rav Nissim Gon. Okay, and Rav Nissim Gon answered Kayav Nisimah answered, because the rule that the Gemara lays forth, the name of Ezra, Ezra Tikkun Misra, Lamed Aleph on Beis Megillah, was to read the klolos of Mishnah Torah, the klolos of Chumash Devarim, before Rosh Hashanah. That includes, who says the klolos is only Kisavo? The beginning of Nitzavim is also pretty fiery, right? Ki oz yesham kines Hashem af Hashem yishahu v'rov tovo kolak. So you know, I mean, gofri svei. I mean, it's pretty tough stuff in the beginning of Nitzavim also, right? And a person can say, well, it doesn't apply to me, blah, 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 right? Oh, Hashem will fix him good, right? And so it's a pretty strong. So therefore, Nisim Gaon said, that's why we have to read Nitzavim before Rosh Hashanah too, not just Kisavo. So therefore, that's why we can't split up Matzahs and Masechet, and that means we'd always be reading Nitzavim together with Vayelech on the Shabbos after Rosh Hashanah. We want to make sure, in line with Ezra's Takana, that all the klolos of Chumash Devarim of Mishnah Torah are taken care of before Shavuos. I'm sorry, before Rosh Hashanah. That's what, as far as what happens with Shavuos another time. But that's what they give the Teretz. Okay? Tosus is not like that Teretz. Tosus has a couple of objections to that, the Teretz. One of which is that they prove from other places, that's what I'm going to say a little bit, in Baba Basra, they prove from other places that when they talk about Klolos, of Mishnah Torah, you can see that they are talking about Kisavo. They are talking about Kisavo. For example, there's a rule, you're not supposed to be mafsik, you're not supposed to stop. You'll pay attention late in this Shabbos, okay, there's six short aliyahs and one huge aliyah. Okay, the first few aliyahs in Kisavo are all very short. The Tochacha is read in one big aliyah, okay, I don't know, 60-something, okay, and you have very short aliyahs, then you have this one long aliyah, and then another short one at the end. Okay, why? Because the Gemara says, and by the way, they do the same thing with Hukosai. The Aliyah of the Tocha, we don't have a new Aliyah. That's what I mean by being Mafsik. There's no new Aliyah in the middle of the Tocha. So that's the language, that's the Gemara has in Baba Basra, that Ein Mafsikin, I don't know if I had that here, but Ein Mafsikin, you don't make it, that's in that same Sugya in Megillah. Okay, and Baba Basra, so clearly it's talking about Kisavo only. Okay, one. Two, the Gemara says that there's a difference between the Tochacha and Hukosai and the Tocha in Dvar. You know the differences? A few differences, we'll see. One was Moshe saying himself, and one was Moshe, that's in, here in Kisavo, in our Sajjah, and one Moshe said in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is quote-unquote nicer than Moshe Rabbeinu. What does that mean? Because if you look carefully at the Psukim, okay, and again, I'm sorry I don't have the sheets, but you'll take my word for it now. The psukim begin in Bechukosai, Im Bechukosai Teilechu, that's the good, that's the bracha. If you'll follow my statutes, then there'll be rain and all the good things. And it ends, V'olach Hashem Komamius, which ends with a tough, Komamius, right? Im Bechukosai, Aleph the tough. Because Baruch Hu, when he gives you a bracha, it's the whole Aleph base, right? Okay. However, when it comes to the klolos that comes from says v'im lo sishmuli, and it ends with a mem. I forgot what it ends with. Of course, it ends with the what does the Torah end with? Of course, the mem. It's only vav to mem. It's not that many letters. Okay, vav to mem. It's much less. Kadosh Baruch Hu's bracha, when Kadosh Baruch Hu speaks, the bracha, Emechusai Telechu, starts with an aleph and ends with a tough. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you every bracha from aleph to tough. Okay? The Chumash in this room, any chance? No. Oh, there is. So thank you. So we may as well show it on the inside. You know, I'm sorry about the papers. Okay, if you take a look, in Bracha, as I said, it starts Emechusai Telechu, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you a bracha, aleph to tough. But the Tocha begins v'im lo sishluli, okay, and it ends with the next pasuk Shalohem ends with a mem, goes from vav to mem, okay. Vav to mem is how many letters? Vav zayin ches tes yurchof lamed mem, okay. So very few letters, right? Whereas in Kisavo it comes out the exact opposite, okay. Kisavo, when Moshe is talking, so when he talks about brachas, he talks about the klolos. How does the Tocha begin? It starts with the vav, I am Shema Tishma B'Kol Hashem Lekecha. So that's the brachas on it. Start with the vav. B'Hayam Shema Tishma. Okay, and it mentions a bunch of different brachas, and it ends with the mem. Elohim Achirin La'Avdam. Okay, La'Avdam. Vav to mem. Vav to mem. It's only a few letters, but the punishment begins V'Haya in Lo Tishma with a vav, and goes all the way around the Aleph Beis back to Hey. Okay, L'Shrachos V'Ein Koneh. The whole 22 letters. You follow? So the Gemara there makes this comment. They're talking about the clothes. What are they talking about? They're only talking about Kisavo. They're not talking about the Sukkim in Mitzavim. Okay, so you see when they're talking about the Gemara compares the clothes of Mishnah Torah with the clothes of Vayikra, of Torah's Kohanim, it's clearly talking all about Kisavo. Okay? Second of all, says Tosis, you know something? In Hazinu, there's also some tough language. You know, Mizei Rav, Luchume Reshef, you know, there's also some tough language in Hazino. So you tell me, so we should read Hazino before Hashanah too, says Tosis. Therefore, Tosis rejects the answer of Nisim Gol for those reasons. And Tosis concludes very simply, you know why we do it this way? Because why are they misakin to read Dafke Kisavu, not to combine it somebody Yelech, you know, and to split up Matas. You know why? Because we want to have a buffer in between reading these curses in the Tocha and ushering in Rosh Hashanah. You don't want to go straight from Rosh Hashanah, you know, straight into Rosh Hashanah. We have all these horrible punishments, and now tonight is Rosh Hashanah, tomorrow night, right? This year especially, Rosh Hashanah Sunday night, right? We're going to read all these kolos and curses, terrible things, and now we'll go be happy in Rosh Hashanah. You know, so therefore, it says Tosis there in Megillah, it says in Bava Basra also, okay? To make a little bit lahafsik, being close to Shon Shavra and so on. So we want to make a little bit of a hefsik. That's why we do it this way. That answers both questions. It answers our question, why don't we do what the Gemara says, what the Ezra Takana was. And also answers why we don't combine Nitzom Ha'ilich and free up Matas, split up Matas and Masa into a year when that's possible, because we want to read Dafka Nitzavim before Hashanah, Dafka not to go from Kisavo directly into Rosh Hashanah. But a little bit of buffer. And we do the same thing by Shavuos, right? We don't go directly from the Kolos into Shavuos. We have a little bit of an interruption, if you will. Okay? So this is the approach of Tosis. And that is our practice. And so, Nitzavim is always read on the Shabbos for Hashanah. The only question is it double up Vayelech or not? And Kisavo is always read on the Shabbos, the second to last Shabbos year, as it is this year. Okay? I'd like to suggest, so you can use these sources too. Well, I'll have, but I will get you the rest of the sources too. Clean out of it. Okay? I'd like to suggest a different suggestion as to why maybe we should read Kisavo now and Nitzavim afterwards. You know, Kisavo and Nitzavim, both, right through the three, both sedges before Rosh Hashanah. Okay, a third approach. You can take it or leave it. Again, this is Rav Nissim Gaon and then Tosis. Then the Rosh is same Kasha. You know, they all ask Rav Nissim Gaon, they have different objections. Okay, there are different reasons why we have it. I just want to say as a side point. Okay, actually, Rav Tzadok talks about it. I don't know what else talks about it before. But an interesting question that comes up, you know, according to our calendar, it all works out very well. Okay, it works out very well. Kisavo is now. We're up to Kisavo. But we shouldn't even ask the question, why are we letting Parsha Kisavo work? Well, that's what we're up to. That's why. But the question is, you know, in the olden days, not everybody, the Midian and Eretz Yisrael, right, they finish the Torah every 3 years. You know, the Simchas Torah that we have at the end of Sukkah, Simchas Torah is not mentioned, not even mentioned in the Gemara. There's nothing about Simchas Torah. Simchas Torah is a later takana, mentioned the other day in Shir, right? Simchas Torah is really just the second day of Shemini Atzeres, right? And that's why we're in the davening on Simchas Torah. We don't say, Batiti Elan Hashem Elkeinu V'Abba's Yom Simchas Torah Azeh. Right, it's the second day of Shmini Atzeres. There's no Yontif called Simchas Torah per se. We have 2 days of Shmini Atzeres, like any other Sveik of the Yoma. Okay, and that's why the davening on Simchas Torah and the Kiddush on Simchas Torah, we say Yom Shmini Chag Atzeres. You know, it's not a new Yontif. Minhag Yisrael developed to celebrate the end of the Torah reading, a Torah reading cycle on that day, so we call it Simchas Torah. But that's not a name that appears in the Gemara, or, you know, in any early sources at all. That's from the Gaonim, and I'm not denigrating Simchas Torah. But that's because we've accepted to finish the Torah once a year. And one time they finished Torah every 3 years. So they weren't necessarily up to Parshas Kisavo this time of year. Right? With us, it works out. But what they do when they were, they could have been, I don't know, in the middle of Shavuos someplace, or whatever they were up to. Right? If they finish this Torah every 3 years, So what? But yet the Gemara says Ezra tiken lam Yisrael. Right? That's an interesting question. This is a takonis Ezra to read the klolos of Mishnah Torah before Rosh Hashanah. So us, it's fine. It works out. But what they do? So he suggests, and others suggest this also. You know what they do? They would take out a second Sefer Torah that we do, like we do for Parsha Shkolim, or Parsha Zohar, or Parsha Porah, Parsha Chodesh, and it would read the clause from the second Sefer Torah. We don't have to do it because we're up to it anyway. It works out with our calendar. But the proposal is that some Achronim suggest is that we don't have any record. We don't know, but that they probably had to Mekayim Takana says that they would on this Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah they would take out two Sefer Torah. For the first one, they'd read whatever they were up to, and the second one, they'd read the clause. Where they would begin, where they end, I don't know. But it's an interesting idea, no? I mean, it's conceptually, it's something to think about, because, as I say, this is a Takonis Ezra, which is a very old Takonis. So, those who finished the so-called triennial cycle would have had to, so there are occasions we take out two Sifrei Torah, so that's probably what they did. But anyway, I'd like to suggest a third reason, besides just at least on Derech HaDrush maybe, of why we read Kisavo and Nitzavim before Rosh Hashanah. And that is the following. Parshas Kisavo and Nitzavim highlight something else. In Parshas Kisavo, there's another major distinction between the klolos in Chumash Vayikra and the klolos here. Another major distinction. All right, and that is that the several ones. Moshe said, because Baruch Hu said the vav to the mem, and then the whole alphabet. Fine. Besides that, and that is that the klolos in Vayikra are written the Loshon Rabbim. Right, Lashon Rabbim. Emir Kusai Teilechu. Right, and it's all in the plural. Emir Kusai Tim Asu, Valachti Af Ani Imochem Bekeri, and so on. All in the plural. In this week's Sedra, Kisavo, the clothes are all Lashon Yachid. Okay? All Lashon Yachid. Pay attention in the Shabbat, you'll hear they're all Lashon Yachid. Okay? And the question is, what do we make of sometimes the Torah presents things with Lashon Yachid? And sometimes the Torah presents things in Lashon Rabbim. How do we understand, what's going on there? So I'll just share with you. Now you're talking to a group of people, right? You're talking to a group. So when you're talking to a group, you can, it goes either way. You can identify the group as a single entity. So you can talk in the singular or you can talk in the plural. And both make sense. I'm just going to give an example. I always like this example. We talk about in English, you say a crowd. Talk about a ball game. The crowd is going crazy. Right, the crowd is cheering. Crowd is. There's 60,000 people there in the stadium. I mean, the crowd is. The answer is because it's an entity, it's a crowd. In British English, I remember the first time I heard it, in British English, okay, in England, they say the crowd are. I'm talking about a soccer game. The crowd are loving it. Sounds strange to us, but it makes sense too. I mean, there's 60,000 people. Right? They are. Right? So they both make sense. So I'm not questioning what makes sense. Sometimes the Torah presents things in Lashon Yachid, and sometimes the Torah presents things in Lashon Rabbim. So Chazal understood, I will share with you two drushes, which you know. Okay? One is coming up, Sukkis. It says, Ulekachtem Lochem. And what does that mean, Ulekachtem Lochem? Who has to take the Luvin Esser? Remember that Gemara? Say, Lekicha Biyad, Kol Echad Ve'Echad. It's in every individual. You, and you, and you, and you, and you. I mean, everybody, I think, right? L'kachtem lochem. That's how the Gemara darshins in Sukkah. L'kachtem lochem. Lochem meaning you and each individual. The other famous drasha is by Siris Omer. U'svartem lochem. So to everybody has to count the Sira. So when the Torah presents something in the plural, it means it's an obligation upon each and every member of the group as an individual. The plural is talking to you and you and you and you and you and you and you. So we say in the plural, everybody has an obligation. Right? When a Torah presents in the singular, for example, by Sira of Yovel in Parshas Behar, what does it say over there? V'sofarta l'cho, Parshas Behar, l'cho. You know why? Because there's no obligation on every single individual Jew to go ahead and count the years towards the Yovel, right? It's an obligation upon whom? Bezdin, with the representative of the collective entity, of the corporate entity, if you will, of Klal Yisrael. Okay, the singular, it's addressing the Klal Yisrael as one individual unit, and whatever the mitzvah is done by the Bezdin, as a Bezdin representing Klal Yisrael. There's no obligation. So the Golden Gaon speaks about this chilek. Okay? That when Torah speaks in Lashon Rabbim, and again, I will send you the source, it's in Deres Elio, which is the Vilna Gaon, one of the Svarim of the Vilna Gaon's writings of Chumash. So he mentions this klal, and then the Nitziv and others talk about it, that when things are presented in the singular, it's talking to the entity. Okay? And so the Bezdin. Okay? And there are those who point out that, you know, the love of Baal Tosef and Baal Tigre, right, is presented twice in the Chumash. Once in Veschan, once in Rei. In one place it says, lo so safe and lo sigra. In another place, lo so sifu and lo sigro. So those who point out, and it's in point out, there are different types of Baal Tosef and Baal Tigre. Okay? One Baal Tosef and Baal Tigre is an individual, right? You can't have, let's say you're going to buy a pair of tefillin, so you like to have tefillin. Aside from the four parts of tefillin, you want to put in your bar mitzvah seder. Okay? You also. You'll put in the SRS of Dibbers and whatever else. How do I do that? That's Baal Tosef from the individual mitzvah. Okay? Or put on, you know, or say you have four psukim in Birchas Kohanim, whatever. There are many different examples, right? That's Baal Tosef's individual. But it's also Baal Tosef that a Bezdin is not permitted to institute a new law to be binding on all the parties. That's an individual. That's on the tzibur, right? So, again, there are people talk about this distinction. So that's Lashon Yachid, Lashon Rabbim. So, with that in mind, perhaps we can address the following. What happens in Parshas Kisovo then is a very interesting thing. The kolos seem to be addressed to whom? To the tzibur of Kol Yisrael as its own entity. In fact, it's an interesting thing. In next week's Sedra Nitzavim, I alluded to the passage before, it says, a guy will say the following, right? And Yesh Bochem, something I'm looking for is here. The guy will say, Shalom Yeli, Kibishurus Libi Ele. Is that closing now? Yeah. Bahar Bisham was Dira Al Azos, right? The person will hear these curses. He's Baruch Bavolo, Shalom, be okay with me. Kibishurus Libi Ele. I'll do whatever I want. Don't worry about it. Why would somebody say that? Well, what does that mean? After hearing all these calls, the guy's a man. Not me. Okay, well, what do you mean? And then I have to tell him, lo, lo, Hashem, sloch, lo, Hashem won't forgive him, and so on and so forth. But why would somebody think that? Okay, why would somebody think, Shalom Yali? Okay? Well, none of this is going to happen to me. That can't happen here. Well, why would somebody think that? Some of us should point out, you know why? Because there's a klala of all these clothes were on the tzibur. And this guy figures he'll be able to get away, so to speak, as an individual. Right? I'll do whatever I do, but the tzibur, whatever happens to the tzibur, it won't necessarily happen to me. What's the idea? That the clothes are visited upon or directed here to the tzibur of Kol Yisrael. Why suddenly here? Now, if we accept that, that accounts for the linguistic difference in Lashon Yachid and Lashon Rabbim. So our next question we ask is why? Why would the Kolos here be addressed to the tzibur? And the answer is because in these sedras, in Kisovo, it starts, and Nitzavim, and actually it's completed in Sefer Yoshua. Now let's look at the beginning of Parshas Kisovo, right? That it says, not in the middle, but in the middle, before the Tochavot, it says that they're supposed to go, Eliam Dolar Brach, when they come into Eretz Yisrael, some Shvatim will go on Har Grizim, and some Shvatim will go on Har Evil. But I must make a side point. I always like to point that. I don't know if I said this later, but you know, it's a very, there's a total side point. But it mentions, right, Eli Yamdo, Eli Yamdo Lebarach HaSama Har Grizim, and it mentions Shvatim, Shimon Levi Yehudi, Sochi Yosim Yamin, and Eli Yamdo Lebarach HaSama Ruben God Asher Zvulun Don and Naphtali. Many Mepharshim are bothered by the arrangement, the split. It doesn't seem to match any other types of splits, or you know, it's not like, oh, these are the children of Leah, and these are the children of the others, or these are the ones who encamped these, you know, the east and the west. Well, you know, it doesn't match. Again, I'm reading to you: Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda, Yisachar, Yosef, and Binyamin. Okay, so four of them are from Rachel, and two from Leah. Okay. The other psukim have, you know, but Reuven, right? Reuven got Asher, Zvulun, Dan, and Naphtali. Asher, Reuven, and Zvulun also from, again, it doesn't match the encampment around. The Mishkan doesn't match anything. So there are many different suggestions. One of the most creative suggestions I ever saw was about, I guess about 35 years ago. They published, I think they only published one volume. They have here in the yeshiva, Beis Yitzchak, so they printed maybe a year or two, maybe two volumes, called Rinas Yitzchak, which was on Tanakh topics. Okay, you know, go to the library and see it. I don't know, somehow it didn't carry on, I don't know. So, or they incorporated into Beis Yitzchak, sometimes Beis Yitzchak has stuff on Chumash too. So somebody, whoever wrote the article, went ahead and entered on a computer the following, based on the census in Parshas Pinchas, which was the census before going to Eretz Yisrael, okay, of all the, it's going to be six tribes and six tribes, right? So of all the different possibilities, okay, of six and six, this division, this particular division, was the closest to a 50-50 split. Very interesting. You know, you enter the numbers, and you know, I don't know, here's a mathematician. However many mathematical possibilities there are, you're taking 12 and dividing 6, something factorial. I don't know about math, but you know what I'm saying? There's all the different combinations. The one that was closest to a fit wasn't exactly a 50-50 split, but the one that's closest to a 50-50 split is this. All right, because Baruch knew that without the computer, so therefore he split them up this way. So it would be, anyway, I thought it was a very fascinating possibility. But anyway, be that as it may, I mean, there's some problems, but for now. So that's happening. What is that all about? Okay, what is it all about? And what is the beginning of Nitzav? Matem Nitzav Yamechuchem L'Tnei Hashem L'Avr Chawad B'Vris Hashem L'Kechom. What's going on here, starting in Arvos Moab, the plains of Moab, right on the other side of the Jordan, okay, continuing into, when I get into Eretz Yisrael, is the establishment of a second bris, right? As the Pasuk says, again, here in the end of Kisavo, after the Tovacha, it says, the Torah says, Mefurish, Eile divrei habris asher tziva Hashem es Moshe lichos meizal b'Eretz Moab milvad habris asher karas itam b'chorit. Aside from the bris of Sinai, there was a new bris that's taking place here. And what's the uniqueness of this bris? Now, Bnei Yisrael halachically becomes an entity that is a tzibur. Until that's true, they were unified. Har Sinai, Vayichan Sham, Ki Shechad B'Lev, I get it. But halachically, how do we know that? Because in next week's Sedra, in the Tzavim, okay, remember it has the dots on those, Hanistaros Hashem Elokeinu. And the dots on top, the 11 dots on top, and so on. So that symbolizes that until now, what somebody else did is none of my business. But now, suddenly, I'm responsible for somebody else. What do we call that? Arvus. When did halachically Arvus end? And we know Arvus for a lot of different things. I can be Yavavavishyatzomotzi. That's a halachic concept, Arvus. Right? When did Arvus enter the mix? According to Chazal, now, when they came to our greeting, you know, it started in Arvos Moav here in Kisavo, and that was concluded when they came to Eretz Yisrael at our greeting on our evil. So there was a new entity now called Klal Yisrael, that didn't exist, or certainly didn't exist in the same way until now. Now they're at Tzibur. That's what's going on here. And again, that's the pasuk here. Milvada bris asher karsim. Aside from the bris of Arsina, which was bris number one, this is a new covenant that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is establishing here. Okay, and now you have an entity called Klal Yisrael. Now there's a tzibur. Okay, and that's something new. And now there's a din of arvus. Until now, Asaras Hashem Elokeinu. Right? And now, but Aniglo Slon of Aneh, we're responsible. Okay, and again, that's the notion of arvus. That's what happens now. Okay. In fact, it's very interesting, as a side point, talking about Arvus, okay, the Gaonim, the Bahag, and the Psadi Gaon and so on, count Arvus as one of the Tayag Mitzvahs. Okay, Mitzvah, Psadi Gaon presents it in the Din of the Tzibur, as Mitzvahs on the Tzibur, he divides it a little differently. Okay, and the Rambam is bothered by this in the Sefer Mitzvah. What do you mean? That was a one-time thing. Right, the Kolos of Mishnah, the Hargrizman Arevel, that was the one. They present Hargrizman Arevel as like one of the Tariq Mitzvahs. And the Rambam said, no, Tariq Mitzvah, only Mitzvahs which are what? No egg? The Doros. That was one and out. That was a one time event in history. Just like we don't count, you know, Mitzrayim, they had to put the dam from the carbon pesach on the doorposts. That's not counted as Tayag mitzvahs, even though it was a mitzvah for them, because not with Doris. We, in subsequent generations, even when they had a carbon pesach on the basement, they didn't put the dam on the doorpost. That was one and out, right? So the Rambam said, I don't understand how you can count our Grizon and our Evel, right, as one of the Tayag mitzvahs. It's not with Doris. Okay? So the Rabban gives the teretz, even though the Rabban agrees with the Rambam. But no, they're saying that the mitzvah that's Ladoros is Arbus. That is Ladoros. They're correct. It is Ladoros. It's Arbus. We use Arbus all the time. What's in Kiddush and this and that, right? So that's the origins of Arbus. That's what he means. Okay? In fact, Ruchem Bishop Perlo, it's like a bit of commentary on the same as Tzadigon, right? It's Adrabah. Upon further Ian, the Kashas the Rambam, why doesn't count it? We know the Arbus. Now, you can answer the Rambam. The Rambam will hold that Arba is not an independent mitzvah. Within Kiddush, within Brachas, within it, there's a, right, but not that it's independent mitzvah. Okay, again, that's a bookkeeping question. But be that as it may, what we see is that the Arba's issue, or the Arba's status, takes place now. What's happening now that's different? Why was there, what is changing within Klal Yisrael? Because they're about to go into Eretz Yisrael. The difference now is Eretz Yisrael. The tzibur of Klal Yisrael is defined by Eretz Yisrael. As a matter of fact, the one in the beginning of Horus, Daf Gimel, the first of Pasuk in Navi, by the Malachim, by the dedication of Beis Hamikdash, it says, Kahal Gadol Milavo Hamas, and so on. I'm sorry, I don't have the Pasuk in front of me. Horus, Daf Gimel, look it up. Okay? The definition of the Kahal Yisrael are those who live in Eretz Yisrael. The issue there, at the beginning of Horus, you may remember, is what happens if the Bezin Paskin is wrong, and make a mistake, and the Rove, the Klal Yisrael, does the Avera, Alpi, the Pesach of the Bezdin, so then they have to bring a certain animal, a certain carbon, the Bezdin, make a Par, Halam, Dovah, Shal, Tzibur, I'm talking about, right? Par, Halam, Dovah, Shal, Tzibur, and so on. So how do you determine whether the Rove of the Kahal violated or not? So when the Pesach says, Venela Mene HaKal, right, the Pesach by Yikra, Venela Mene HaKal, so how do you define Kahal? So based on that Gemara, Kahal is the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. We don't count in this reckoning. Okay? So, the difference was, I mean, talks about this, the difference was now that I have Eretz Yisrael, now there's a land. The country has a homeland. Now you're a different entity as a people. You're a different entity as a people. That's why it's a big deal, Eretz Yisrael, a homeland. The concept of a homeland is a halachic concept to a certain extent. You should know that when the State of Israel was established, so the Vatican had a significant problem with it. Because it was a theological problem. I'm talking about a theological problem. Because part of their belief was, huh? Right, and doomed to wander the face of the earth, going from here, I have no homeland, and so on, so that. I mean, they came to terms with it later, but originally they had a big theological, I'm talking about a theological problem, not a political problem. Huh? Yeah, right. But I'm saying it was a theological issue, that's not a political issue. Anyway, be that as it may, so that's what changed in with our response. So now, put all this together, I think you have a fascinating thing. The idea is that this bris, the bris of Kisovo, and it continues in Kisovo, that sense of Nisim going as well, but not the close. The issue is not the close. The issue is the establishment of Klal Yisrael as a tzibur, the concept of Arvus, the concept of a nation now, a new bris, so to speak. Perhaps that's why Chazal wanted both Kisovo and Nitzavim to read before Rosh Hashanah. Because when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, the tzibur plays a very dramatic and significant role. You look in the Rambam, okay, the Rambam, talks about the mitzvah that say Lashon in the Shofar, is that the Tzibur is Chayav to hear Tekiyah Shofar. Of course it's every individual has to, but there's this concept of a Shofar on the Tzibur. And we blow the Shofar during we blow the Shofar during the Chazor Shashatz. Some people blow also in the Salish when I say, okay, the Divman Hagim. But everybody blows in the Chazor Shashatz. Okay, what's a pshat? The answer is it's part of the Tzvil of the Tzibur. Shofar is part of the Din of the Tzibur. And Yom Kippur, we don't have to, it's obvious, right? The Seir and the Sar Mishtaleach is Avona. Again, you look in the Lashon of the Rambam. Again, I'm sorry, I don't have it. If you're interested in this further, so please look at the Marmakomas. Okay, or the shiur I gave, a long shiur on why you talk about this too, besides last year. A different one. It's a different direction I took last year. Okay? I love this subject. But anyway, it's such a fascinating thing. So many things. But Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, the concept of a tzibur, okay? When we say tefillas for, you know, slichas, okay, slichas, right? What do we always say when we say vidui? Oshamnu, Bogadnu, Gozalnu, you know, we're mitzar for the tzibur. Okay, al chet shechotanu. Why am I saying that? What if one of those chets on the list I didn't do? Well, I didn't do that. I never did that one. I didn't. The other, I never did that one. I don't know if there are any, but okay. Well, let's say we come across one of the al chets. I never did this one. We say it anyway, because we're davening also as a tzibur. If I'm also as a tzibur, yeah.
Because the Rebbe Lassiyim in Tafrei Shalom says that specifically because of our, since we're part of their Averos is.
Does he say that? Okay, good. I don't think I have that amount of comments, but thank you for my welcome. Because of Arvus. Okay, so that's why we... I mean, it's true in all of davening, right? Refayinu and so on. But especially this time of year, the tzibur plays a major role. Okay? In fact, it's interesting that tzibur includes, that's what it says in next week's Sedra, that this bris is being made with those who are here now, esashay yeshno poim anayom, esashay enenu poim anayom. Even if people are not here. Even the Doros HaBoim. Even the future generation. What are the future generations? Why can't I say, well, I never agreed to this? Right? The answer is because the bris was not made with any individuals. It was made with this entity. Okay, it's like you have a treaty between two countries. Okay, two countries sign a treaty. So the treaty is not between this diplomat and that diplomat. It's representing the country. Okay, and officially, even after those diplomats are out of office, the treaty's still in effect. Now, people break treaties, obviously. But I'm just saying, when you make a treaty, it's with this group. Okay, not just with the people who happen to sign it. They're signing on behalf of the group, and it's binding on everyone in the country. It's binding on everybody. So and in this time of year, okay, we attach ourselves to the tzibur. So you know, and even the people who are not here, and it's the people who are not here anymore who may have been in the past. Okay, for example, you know, we refer to Yom Kippur as Yom Kippur. Okay, I think the Sardim call it Kippur. But the real name is Yom HaKippurim in the plural. Translated Day of Atonement, you know, in English they say Day of Atonement. That's not really an accurate translation. It should say Day of Atonements in the plural. Yom HaKippurim. In the davening, Atitalon is Yom HaKippurim is there. In the lady, Yom HaKippurim, they were called, we call for short Yom Kippur. Okay, but it's really called Yom HaKippurim. Do you know what the Mepharshim say? No, Yom HaKippurim means what? Plural? Who? What do you mean plural? Atonement to who? So it says Kapara Lechayim and Kapara Lemason. There's Kapara for Mason and Yom Kippur as well. In fact, the original practice of Yizkor was Yom Kippur. The original Yizkor was Yom Kippur. We've extended it. We say also at the end of Pesach, at the end of Shavuos, at the end of Sukkot. We say Yizkor then too. But the original meaning of Yizkor is Yom Kippur. Why? Because Kapara for the Mason as well. So we give tzedakah, we say a tefillah, whatever the yizkor is. Okay, because this is a day for kapara, not only for the chayim, but for the mesim also. Right? How do we mean kapara for the mesim? Well, they're not here? The answer is no, they're part of Klal Yisrael. Everyone who ever is or will be part of Klal Yisrael is included in the tzibur. And therefore we call it Yom HaKippurim to have at this point. So ultimately what I want to suggest is that maybe because going into Rosh Hashanah Kippur, the tzibur element is such a basic element of our behavior, this time of year with Slichas, with Rosh Hashanah, with Esrei Tshuva, with Yom Kippur, that we want to read those sedras that establish Klal Yisrael as an entity before Rosh Hashanah comes in. We want to establish that tzibur. We want to call our attention. Hopefully people listen to Leni. So we call our attention these 2 weeks, Kisavo and Nitzavim, these 2 weeks, we call our attention to the idea of the tzibur, Kapor L'chaim, Kapor L'mesim, Kapor for the tzibur. I don't have to tell you, looking around, you know, the Sar Mishtalech, all the tzibur, everything is tzibur oriented. Okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives the tzibur and everything. So therefore, in the weeks before Rosh Hashanah, we dafke want to lay in Kisavo and Nitzavim. Kisavo the second last week, Nitzavim the last week, so that we can highlight the establishment of this tzibur. And then we go into Rosh Hashanah and some Slichas, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and so on and so forth, with this notion of a Klal Yisrael existing in Tzibur, which was taught at that time. So that's just a third, my own suggestion, at least al derech hadrush. In addition, again, you know, Rav Nissim Gaon says it's because you have to include Nitzavim because it's part of Tichlus Shana V'Kilosa. Tosfos doesn't like that. Teretz says, no, we always read Kisavu this Shabbos to make a buffer in between. But I'm just suggesting a little bit of Derech HaJewish that perhaps an auxiliary reason why we always read Kisavim and Kisavim and Itzavim before Rosh Hashanah. Okay.
I'll